Kim Weavers, Director of External Affairs at the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board. And Kim, you are back from a little field trip that you and the board members of the TSP took. What did you go see and where did you see it?
Well, we have two call centers, people, you know, answering the calls from our participants, and one of them is in Frostburg, Maryland. So we held our board meeting out there on Monday, and it allowed our board members to take a tour of the call center, sit in and listen to some of the calls, get a feel for what our participants are asking and how we're responding to those questions. It was really quite a fun time.
When you go and examine a call center, it certainly can't be as simple as you walk in, you watch some folks take a couple of calls, and that's it. What's the process? What were they looking for? What did the board members want to see in the day-to-day operations of what goes on there?
You want to see training, you want to see quality assurance, and you want to see responsiveness. Obviously, you know, the TSP is a statutory program that is bound by tax rules. So you don't want someone answering the phone that's just sort of taking, an educated guess.
Mm-hmm.
You want someone who's been trained, who knows how to respond, and you want people who are being reviewed, because obviously all of us have good days and bad days. And so you want to make sure that there's a quality control on what's being said. And if for some reason, someone's giving the wrong answer or giving an answer in an inappropriate way, that they're educated and counseled in an appropriate way, and making sure that they're answering the questions in a timely manner so that we don't have people languishing on calls, which I'm pleased to say we don't.
And that was where I was going to go next. What did the board see when they got there, and how did it comport with the goals that they have for the call centers for the TSP participants?
We have in our contracts with the call centers, we have service level agreements, metrics that we want those call centers to meet, and I am pleased to say that they are meeting them. And what we also saw was a group of new employees being trained. They have a 5-week training course. And they were in, I believe, week 2 of that. So we saw, luckily, what we wanted, what we had hoped to see. And as I said, our board members got to sit in on some of the phone calls and hear the kind of questions that people are asking. You know, what are my withdrawal options? How do I change my address? Any question that someone could possibly have about the TSP, those people are trained to respond.
What's been the trend in the amount of calls versus hits on the website or the various other ways that people can communicate with you?
Well, you know, we introduced e-messaging a while ago, I want to say maybe 18 months ago, and that's, you have to log into your account, so you're behind the firewall, and you can send us a message, and we will respond to you, again, behind the firewall, so we can discuss your personal information without having to worry about it being out there in the big, bad internet world. We were wondering whether that would drive down call volume, and it has not. It has maintained itself over the past several years with no noticeable decline. We do have spikes, as you'd imagine, when we have statements that go out. That will drive traffic during the tax season, you know, February through April. That tends to have spikes in calls. And what we learned, which I thought was just the weirdest thing ever, was our highest call volume day of all is the day after the President's Day holiday. Yes, and that's what we all said. We said,
Do we know why that might be?
We do not. It is, but we are not entirely sure, other than people had the long weekend to review their statement, to look at their taxes, maybe getting started. But that was, in fact, the reaction of everyone on the tour was, So
that is very interesting. And the tax issue, I guess, the only thing I can think of, because there are plenty of other long weekends
exactly. All
throughout the year.
That's exactly right. And that's years ago, I worked for a law firm, and it dealt with federal employees. And for them, their busiest call day was Veterans Day, because Veterans Day was a federal holiday, and people were at home, and if they had particular issues, they were able to make those phone calls on the day when they were home.
Yeah.
So I guess every industry or every business has their own peaks and valleys. That one was just we thought a little unusual.
That is very interesting. Kim Weavers, Director of External Affairs at the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board, just back from a field trip to the TSP call center in Frostburg, Maryland. Anything else that they were looking at while they were out there?
No, that was it. And then we had had our meeting out there, our monthly meeting, and so we discussed our regular reports. And one of the things that we were really quite pleased about is that, if you'll remember, back in May of 2012, we launched our Roth TSP option. And we, this month, are up to 8% of our participants having Roth TSP accounts. And we had internally thought that it would take longer to get there, because we know in the private sector, the Roth TSP usage is roughly 8 to 12% of their participant base. And so we didn't anticipate getting to Roth TSP at 8% this quickly. It means that the message is out there, people are educated, and we're really quite pleased about that.
I read recently that Roth participation is significantly higher among members of the military, uniform military, that are signing up for Thrift Savings Plan accounts compared to civilian members. Do we know why that is, Kim?
For the most part, it's because younger uniform services, for them, the pre-tax TSP, while still a good deal, is less advantageous to them because they're paying either little or no federal income tax. So the pre-tax option doesn't really get them much. However, a Roth option where they pay taxes on the money, you're in your early mid-20s, you put your money in, after tax, it grows, and if you follow the IRS rules and take it out after 59 and a half, you're not paying taxes on that money again. So that is quite an attractive option. And, of course, for members of the uniformed services who are in combat zones, they can get certain kinds of combat pay that are never taxable. If they put that money in a Roth TSP account, that also grows and can be taken out and not taxed after 59 and a half.
So for the younger folks, it's really just a matter of they're not making enough money that they're in a very high tax bracket right now.
Exactly.
And the numbers work out better long term, especially if they're going into one of the equities funds that has a lot greater potential for good return over a 20 to 40 year window.
Yes. And again, this was the benefit to the military was one of the primary drivers of us pursuing the Roth TSP option. And we're, as I said, quite pleased that overall the uptake has been high and that the uptake in the uniformed services has been what we had hoped it would be.
Kim, you told me that we're learning more about the folks who are coming into the federal government and how they're using the Thrift Savings Plan, in particular how they're signing up for the TSP. What do we know there?
What we have found, we did a demographics a review of our participant behavior over the last 5 years, 2009 to 2013. And in 2009, we started auto-enrollment. So if you didn't affirmatively choose, we would auto-enroll you at 3%. And what that did for our youngest cohort, as the statisticians like to say, for those under 29, they moved, participation in TSP moved from 78% up to 93.3%. So what that tells us is auto-enrollment is doing exactly, again, what we had hoped to do. It got people participating in the TSP, and since for FERS employees, participation in the TSP is absolutely necessary to have a comfortable retirement, auto-enrollment has had an impact that is demonstrable over the last 5 years.